The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, the boy is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he'd entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. The sermon title is, Take Up the Whole Armor of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson poses a problem for 21st century people. It talks about demon possession, which is something that very few people have witnessed. I certainly haven't. And we don't even want to think about it. Most people today think that demons are a product of superstition. In my high school years, one of our Sunday school teachers, who was otherwise quite orthodox, told our class that demons don't exist. He said that it was just a superstition, and we don't believe in them today. But our gospel teaches otherwise. Either, you only have three choices here, either Mark was lying about what happened in our gospel, or two, Jesus was mistaken about the demon in the boy. Or three, there really were demons that Jesus cast out. There is no fourth option there. Being Bible believers, we accept what this gospel says at face value. And this attitude toward the scriptures is held by St. Augustine, and by Martin Luther. Theologians call this position the inerrancy or infallibility of Scripture. What the Scriptures state is true because God inspired the writers of the Old and New Testament through the means of the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I may not understand what the Scriptures say all the time, but that is no reason to reject what we don't understand. There are many things in Scripture that we simply have to accept with faith. As Hebrews 11, verse 1 states, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen means it's not visible, not testable, not empirical. And we believe it because Jesus or his apostles said it. Excuse me. The Bible teaches not only that Satan and demons exist, but they are powerful and influential beings who want to hurt you, and they want to lead you to unbelief. Now, here are just a few Bible passages which speak to their existence and their powers. First, in Genesis 3:1, it states that the serpent was more cunning than any other beast of the field which the Lord had made. In the fall of Adam and Eve, the serpent proved that he was even more cunning than human beings, thus revealing his demonic powers. He outwitted Adam and Eve. which were the smartest creatures of all earthly and physical creation. But the serpent was smarter. So beware. Number two, in Genesis 3:14, the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Christians have understood the seed to be Jesus and the serpent to be Satan. Thus, Satan is the constant enemy of Jesus and all believers. And his seed are the demons, which also afflict believers. In Exodus 7:11, Pharaoh's sorcerers produce serpents from their staffs to match Moses' staff through the powers of enchantment. In this case, the powers came through demons in order to prevent the liberation of the people of Israel. 4, in Job 1 verse 6, it reports, "A day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." So on that day, Satan proposed numerous hardships and plagues against Job to test his faith in God, with the intent on Satan's side of leading him to despair and unbelief. And that's what Satan does. 5, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 and 23, it states that the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. At the advice of his counselors, Saul sent for David, who, quote, "took a harp, played it with his hand, and then Saul was refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit departed from him." Now, this was a case of demonic oppression, not necessarily possession, but oppression. And the music of David cast him out. In Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, it states, "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Because of this census, God was angry and struck Israel with a horrible plague." Number 7, the gospel writers report on the encounter of Jesus with Satan after 40 days in the wilderness. Matthew 4, 1 to 11, Mark 1, 12 to 13, Luke 4, 1 to 13. These are all parallel passages. There, Satan's intent was to defeat Jesus' mission of salvation. Number 8, each gospel writer reports dozens of cases of demonic possession in which the demons were cast out by Jesus or by his disciples. This was one case you heard where the disciples could not cast him out. Number 9, the power to cast out demons was explicitly given to the 12 apostles by Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 1. Number 10, the power to cast out demons was also given to the 70 disciples of Jesus in Luke 10, 17 to 20, to which Jesus replied, quote, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." End of quote. Finally, in Acts, but it's written by Luke, chapter 16, 16 to 18, it reads, "A certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Spirit came out of her that very hour. From these and many other verses, we can see that the Bible consistently testifies to the existence and power of Satan and demons. So then, how should we as Christians respond to this? Here are just a few Bible verses that give comfort and consolation amidst the threats of Satan. Number one, Jesus said, quote, "No one will snatch my sheep out of my hand," end of quote, John 10:28. "Therefore, the devil will never be able to harm you, no matter how skillful his cunning and power. Jesus, who is in you through faith and baptism, is more cunning and powerful than the devil." Who's going to win, Jesus or the devil? You know from the text who will win. Number two, Jesus said, "The ruler of this world is coming and has no hold whatsoever on Christ," John 14:30. What does this mean? The devil has no power over those who are in Christ by faith and in whose hearts Christ dwells by faith. Number three, Hebrews 2:14 says, "Through death Christ has destroyed him who held the power of death, that is, the devil." Did you understand that? The devil is in control of death. Why are we fearful of death? It's because he is in charge of that. But through death, Christ has destroyed him who held the power of death, that is the devil. Therefore, you do not need to fear either death or the devil. Four, Colossians 2:15 says, "Christ plundered the principalities and powers and put them to shame by triumphing over them in himself. Therefore, you do not need to fear any demonic powers." Number five, Revelation 12:10-11 records the songs of the saints. This is the heavenly choir singing, quote, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." So there are your defense weapons, the blood of the Lamb and the word of God. Finally, we have the counsel of St. Paul in Ephesians 6:10-17. And I read this at length. "Therefore, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." End of quote. May you always be ready with God's word and your faith in Jesus to withstand in the evil day, so that you may stand firm through Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In his name, amen.